White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
That ball hit deep!
It's time for White Sox Weekly.
Diehard White Sox fan here, and I'm glad that they're on an awesome radio station.
On your home for Chicago White Sox baseball, 720 WGN.
Good afternoon, White Sox Weekly, indeed on the air. We're with you for 90 minutes today, 1 hour of White Sox Weekly, and then the beat takes over. Harry Tynowitz, good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
Yo-Yo Ma, I'm cool. I'm happy. Everything is good.
Dan Long producing, 312-981-7200. Carson Fulmer will be on the program today at 4:15. That is 9 minutes from now. Carson, of course, trying to be one of the White Sox starters this year out of Vanderbilt. Came on late in the season last year. We're excited to talk to Carson today, Harry.
Yeah, he had like two different seasons. And, of course, the big news that we are looking at today is that Carlos Rodon out of North Carolina State will not be available until, at the earliest, June.
It looks like that Rickon speaking yesterday about the rehabbing Carlos Rodon, who of course had shoulder surgery back in September. That rehab apparently is 6 to 8 months. They're going to be conservative with Carlos Rodon, which makes sense. White Sox are not trying to win the World Series this year, although you never know what happens, baby.
Never know.
You never know, but they're being safe with him, so you would that times out to somewhere late May, early June, you would think. The other big news yesterday with Mike Rodolfo, who had pain in his right throwing elbow, and an exam revealed a sprain of his ulnar collateral ligament. So that is not good news for one of the White Sox outfield prospects. Will be out a minimum of 6 weeks. No surgery as of yet. They'll try to rehab that aggressively, but there is a chance that that's the way it will go, which would be a big blow.
The Rodon thing, I think, is going to hit more Sox fans. It's very frustrating because he's got some great stuff, and he's had his moments on the hill where you look at him and go, man, this guy could be something. Carlos Rodon could be something in Major League Baseball, and it's a shame that he is beset now with this injury and will miss probably like half the season.
Yeah, but it's everything that they're saying about Rodon. Proof will be in the pudding when he gets on the mound and all that. But, you know, Rick's been saying he's progressing nicely. He feels good. They've got the throwing program going on. He's back out to 90 feet. He's throwing nice and easy. The shoulder feels good. All signs, I think, are positive. The fact that he's not pitching in spring training, no worries. That's cool. Doesn't need to throw in spring training. He can pitch half the season. All that is fine. It's about getting to the end of the season and having Rodon getting back on the mound, being healthy, ready to go 2019. That works for me.
Well, I'm not going to just give up the season on Rodon, but we should call him a caterpillar if he's got 90 feet.
That's something I didn't think was going to be on the show today, Harry. Caterpillar, 90 feet.
Oh, caterpillar! How many feet do caterpillars have?
Don't know the answer. Is it 90 feet for a caterpillar?
100
feet for one caterpillar?
Centipede? I think it's centipede.
Centipede.
Right. We should call them centipede, not caterpillars.
I need to go back and...
Centipede, as in, you know, century mark.
I need some biology
100.
Going on. Right. Mike Rodolfo, you're rolling over that one, Harry.
No, I'm not rolling over that one. I'm just saying that Rodon was part of the rotation. I mean, he was one of the guys that they were counting on. There's a group of future prospects, and, you know, Carlos Rodon was a guy who, you know, for a couple of years, he's been somebody who's, you know, especially the way that, you know, Chris Sale happened. And if you go back in the White Sox organization, you know, diehard Sox fans will tell you Jim Parquet. Jim Parquet was another guy that came right off the college campus at UCLA and was, next thing you knew, he was pitching in the bigs. So, I mean, it's something that the Sox have seen before. It's guys coming up, guys getting thrown in the bigs, and guys doing well. And Rodon was supposed to be added to that group, and he just, you know, hasn't been able to, you know, contribute like he should.
Right. It has been the level of health has not been there for him, nor it really the performance, actually, when he's been healthy either. So... But there's still, I think, a good amount of optimism that when the White Sox have everything rolling, Carlos Rodon's going to be a part of that rotation. By the way, it's 3-2 Seattle over the Sox right now. Bottom six. spring training game number two yesterday. The Dodgers beat the White Sox 13-5 at Camelback. The Sox were actually the road team in that. Sweet three-run homer for Tim Anderson, who got all over a curveball, blasted it out to left center. That was good to see. So we're underway, man. The first game on WGN yesterday afternoon.
How about it?
There it was. So we're rolling, and White Sox Weekly with you every Saturday, 1 hour, as we start to creep towards opening day, baby.
Well, opening day will be here before you know it.
I know it. Early, March 29th.
So. Yes, and it'll be a faster pace of play.
You think so? You think you're going to notice?
I think you'll notice.
Okay.
I think it's really good they don't have a pitch clock. That would be as it, because I'm old school baseball.
See, I was actually getting all new school this week just thinking about it. If you want to speed up the game, why don't we just go 1-1 count? Let's go softball setting.
You know, that's ridiculous.
Why?
And the idea. The other thing that they floated out there last year was that, like, in the 12th inning, you're going to start with a guy on second.
Don't mind that one either.
That's ludicrous.
Why?
Why would you have? Because what I love about baseball is the history of the game. Okay, and that you're going to see a game today. When you go to the ballpark, you're seeing a game today that could be unlike any game in the glorious history of baseball.
Do you like the shootout in hockey?
I do enjoy the shootout in hockey, but
what?
That's you know, it's
gimmicky.
It's necessary because you cannot have an overtime in a regular season hockey game. Let's say the Blackhawks, okay, the Hawks were winning last night 2-1 over the Sharks.
Yeah.
And the Hawks will be on the station in an hour and 48 minutes.
Chris Bowden with the pregame. He's upstairs warming up right now.
He's literally warming up. He's in tights and he's doing ballet exercises.
He looks good.
He's confident. So look, if the Sharks tied that game last night and it's 2-2, they can't play overtime until 3 in the morning. The Hawks have to get on a plane and they got to travel east.
No, but so they used to do a tie. That was how it was done.
Right. So, I mean, so they give a little and they take a little.
So is hockey ruined because they went to the shootout? No. Would baseball, in the 12th inning?
In the 12th inning.
When you're trying to keep guys healthy and not sit there for 7 hours. Look, I love a nice 17-inning baseball game. When they happen, it's a lot of fun. My favorite thing is to be one of the last seven people in the ballpark at 1 in the morning.
You know, your girlfriend had described you, dating you, as being at a 17-inning baseball game.
Thank you, Harry, for bringing that up. She's never said that, and that's not true. And
Carson, I would take that as a compliment.
Carson Fulmer coming up in 2 minutes, by the way. He had a tremendous, tremendous wedding this summer, so we could talk relationships. But listen, sometimes doing something out of the traditional
tradition,
it's not going to ruin the game. It would make it more exciting. Runner on second, let's go. I think it'd be fun.
Look. I was all for the NBA going to a 3-point shot.
Yeah,
okay?
There you go.
I mean, that was great. That was so long ago. People are like, what? I mean, they added the 3-point shot?
Cool. Extra innings. Runner on second to start.
No, all that's right. Insane.
Hey, Sox fans, single game tickets go on sale Friday, March 2nd at 10 a.m. Join us for a season filled with great giveaways and more. Lower level tickets start at just $20. Grab the best seats when they go on sale at whitesox.com. 1 minute timeout. Carson Fulmer next, 720 WGN.
At the wall, the 380, gone. A three-run homer for Tim Anderson. 3-1 White Sox.
Back to White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN.
720 WGN. If I can figure out how to fade this out. There we go, Carm. Way to go, Carm. Harry Tynowitz, yours truly, Mark Carmen with you. White Sox Weekly till 5. Carson Fulmer is a married man and a White Sox pitcher. And as we were, Carson, first of all, welcome to 720 WGN. We're psyched to have the White Sox. We're psyched to talk to you today. Thank you for being on with us in the middle of a baseball game.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Are you sitting in the dugout right now watching and talking to us?
No, sir. We had an away game, so the coaching staff was you know, kind of gave us the rest of the day off. So it was good to get in early, get our work in, and then you know, have the rest of the day to kind of hang out.
Hey, Carson, I remember certain guys we'll call this catcher AJ. AJ didn't like taking the bus back from away games, so he would charter helicopters. How far into your career do you have to be before you charter your own chopper home?
You know what, man? I don't even know if that's a category, man. You know, it's just, you know, me personally, I'm a long way away from that, if even if I have a chance. So it's, that's funny, man. It's good to take the bus or drive, man, it's, as long as you're on your teammates.
So before we talk about, you know, what's coming up for you this year, you got married in Malibu in November, and I'm going through your Instagram today, and I'm looking through your Twitter. You're on a mountain that somehow you had, like, a whole wedding ceremony aisle chairs built out, and it's like the most picturesque thing I've ever seen. Do you get any credit for this romanticness, or is this all your wife, Carson? Give us a little details here.
Yeah, you know what? I have to give all the credit to my wife, man. She's in the process of going through fashion school right now. She's hopefully going to get an internship here in Chicago. She's still doing it, but man, she killed it with the wedding, man. You know, I have to give her all the credit. Even the small details, man. She definitely did it the right way, man. So I'm a lucky guy to have her in my life. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna read a quote here because she wrote about it. Quote, I wanted a mixture of soft romance and dark mystique. We were able to incorporate soft nude roses, subtle greenery, and romantic lighting with opulent black velvet and lavish crystal and gold gold accents into our decor, Carson. That's unbelievable.
That's her, man. She's a very smart girl, man. She's really talented, and you know, she's definitely helped me to get to where I am today, and it's good to see her, you know, plan something so special for the both of us.
That's partnership right there.
Well, I'm married 19 years, and what my wife and I get every night is a mixture of some chick flick and Hershey's Special Dark bars.
It's opulent, Harry.
It's opulent, ain't it, though? All right, so Carson, you were very, very, you were at your strongest towards the end of the season. Reason to believe that, like, you kind of figured something out. You're in a groove. And now that the news has come out that Rodon is probably not going to be ready till sometime in June at the earliest, are you thinking that you're one of the guys going to the Hill to start the ball game every 5 days?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we've had a few conversations about it, but not to get into too much detail. But you know, I had a really good end of the year last year. I was able to go out and face some very good, successful pitchers and have success against them. The lineups I was able to face, you know, you date back to, you know, San Fran or Cleveland, Detroit, even Houston, when, you know, before I got pulled out with the finger issue. Yeah. That's what I needed as a pitcher to get comfortable into the league. You know, I definitely needed the strong lineups, and, you know, I was able to build off and have some confidence, and I was able to string some consecutive starts together. So I think it was really beneficial for me. I had a lot of struggles. I shouldn't say a lot, but I had a few struggles early on in my career, which I'm very thankful to have. And you know what? I feel great coming into this spring training. I think I'll be able to get the chance to go out there every fifth day and have some success, you know, this year. So I'm really looking forward to the opportunity.
White Sox pitcher Carson Fulmer out of Vanderbilt, who beat, just looking back at last year, you're talking about, you know, you beat Corey Kluber and an Indians team that lost like three games in the second half, five innings, three hits, did not give up a run. That's got to give you confidence going forward here, Carson. I would think, you know, okay, I'm facing one of the league's best and a great lineup, and you showed you could handle it.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, a lot of guys talk about the game speeding up at the big league level for people, and it's true. You know, once you give up that first hit, you know, all of a sudden you look back and, you know, there's two or three guys on base, you know, and I think that was the opportunity I needed in order to just take a deep breath and you know, embrace the situation that I was put into last year. I slowed down quite a bit, made sure to keep breathing, as, you know, a lot of athletes, you know, do in order to calm themselves down. And like I said, was able to have that success that gave me the confidence to go on this year and have some success.
All right, well, Carson, for people that are, you know, casual fans, for people that don't know a ton about you, how can we tell that the game is going well? What pitch needs to be working? I mean, obviously, if they let you face the next batter, the game is going well. But what pitch needs what pitch needs to be working for you? What's your out pitch? What should we be looking for?
Yeah, fastball consistency. I think that, you know, I have a really good fastball, either the four-seamer or two-seamer. You know, honestly, regardless of the pitch, if I'm getting ahead of guys, I mean, obviously for a lot of pitchers, if you get ahead, you're going to have success. And, I rely on my fastball a lot. A lot of fastballs up in the zone, you know, on the outside corner just to get ahead. And then, I've been throwing a cutter, recently, probably within the last year or two, that has been able to get people off my fastball. Changeup was a big pitch that I've worked on this off season, so you'll see that quite a bit this year. And then, you know, ever since high school, college, I've relied on my breaking ball pretty often. So as long as I'm able to command the zone, I think that's the biggest part. You know, being able to eat up as many innings as I can.
A couple more minutes with Carson Fulmer, Chicago White Sox pitcher, with us on 720 WGN.
I think this will be fun, Carson. Mark Kerman, can you describe for our listening audience difference between the two-seamer and the four-seamer?
Oh, well, Harry, I mean, obviously the two-seamer is going to have a little more tail, a little more run, and the four-seamer is you're going to throw it when you're going for an exact direct spot. Carson, correct me if I'm wrong. Am I not spot on?
No, absolutely. It's great. Yes, sir. That was a perfect description. You know, if you want to induce a ground ball, if there's a guy on first base in a situation to be able to turn a double play, sometimes you'll use that two-seamer because it dives, you know, kind of down in the zone. You'll get that contact into the ground. And the four-seamer, for me, I love to elevate my four-seamer. I've gotten a lot of guys, even when I was up for the last month, I got a lot of swing and misses on that because of how appealing it looks for the hitter. It's definitely, you have to use your fastball. And if you don't use your fastball, hitters will eliminate it quick and they'll get comfortable with your off-speed stuff.
Carson Fulmer, White Sox pitcher here. Let me ask you how well you know your teammates here.
Oh man, you may get me in trouble now.
No. I want to know, how good have you played ping pong against Alec Hansen?
I have not. I've heard he's pretty good, though.
Okay, because I'm doing some research here. The guy's supposed to be a phenomenal ping pong player. Who's got like some clubhouse talents that maybe you could pass along to us? Who's, I don't know, what do you guys do in there? What, you have so much downtime. I feel like there's got to be some. Who's like a tremendous card playing guy? What would you say?
Yeah, you know what? We have a pretty interesting clubhouse. It's definitely a clubhouse that I love going to the field and hanging out with every day. That's for sure. We're definitely a brotherhood that, you know, we know we have something special, and we know that we're going to be able to go out and you know, play each day with each other. But if I had to be picky, man, you know, obviously, if you look at the veteran guys, Shieldy, you know, he's the motor of us. Great guy, has had a ton of, you know, experience and a lot of success with, you know, multiple ball clubs, and we run to him quite a bit. Posey, Miguel, I mean, the list goes on and on. My guys, you know, that I hang out with, obviously hang out with Lucas Giolito quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's, if you guys probably know, he's big into the video game, so when we hang out, we try to get on that as much as we can. You know what, man? I mean, I could go on and on about each and every one of my teammates, but, you know, our culture is really strong. We know what we're trying to do, and, you know, we're really looking forward to continuing to come to the field every day and hang out, man. You know, we definitely have something special brewing.
It's just kind of interesting. You look, you're a 2015 first-round pick. You're expected to be playing with Chris Sale, who, by the way, I believe you went to high school with, correct? Not at the same time, but same in Lakeland, Florida. And then he gets traded, and now you've got a whole rebuilding thing, and it just sounds like you're embracing it.
Absolutely, man. You have to. You know, I don't think that, you know, I, or, excuse me, I think that like I said, we have something special, just the young talent. And you kind of put the talent aside. You know, we're all really good guys. You know, there's it's a culture you need to build in order to win a championship. The clubhouse culture is so big because you have to have everybody buy into the brotherhood. And I think that everybody's doing that. You know, it's definitely special. You know, I had it, fortunately I was able to go through that, that kind of culture, at Vanderbilt when we won the national championship in 2014. And,
yeah, baby.
I see the same qualities as what we had there. And, everybody's buying in, man. I really look forward to going to the field and being with those guys.
You're getting Sox fans excited. You're comparing this team to a team that won a national championship. You're making Sox fans happy.
Good job, Carson.
Yeah, Giolito, by the way, he needs...
Oh, no.
It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Giolito, by the way, he needs to be taller. He's only like, you know, 8'6". He's got a sweeping curveball. That is a sweet pitch. All right, so before we let you go, I got to ask you because, you know, you and I are such... We could not be more different. You're athletic, and I watch you on TV be athletic. The only time I really moved around a lot was if there was a buffet. So the one thing we have in common is when I played sports, I wore spectacles. I couldn't see without them, and you know, you wear specs.
Yeah, sure.
Do you have a favorite athlete, whether it's baseball or another sport, a favorite guy who wore sports specs?
You know what, man? I really haven't thought about it. I had an eye injury in college, and I was unfortunate because I had a little issue there. But you know what, man? I it was uncomfortable at first. You know, it's one of those things that I had to just get used to. But I'm embracing it as much as I can. And I'll have to look into that, man. I think that it's I'll do some research and get back to you guys about it.
Think about it next time you come on.
Old school NBA, you could go James Worthy, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Mo Malone.
Right, you know what? I met Abdul-Jabbar this offseason and kind of mentioned it to him a little bit. But, you know, he was super busy and we kind of kept it short. But that was one guy I was about to mention, man. You know, I don't know if, you know, obviously he played basketball and you know, I'm definitely a fan of basketball, but I was gonna mention him if I had to pick someone.
You know, arguably the greatest center of all time. It's a fair guy to compare yourself, even though you're crossing
the
sports.
Sky Hook, yes, right. And Kareem always that's justified right, yeah. Always was able to justify why he carried weed every time he got pulled over. Got to respect that also.
And you don't need to touch that one, Carson. And your owner, by the way, you know he's in the Basketball Hall of Fame. So all this, it all comes back together somehow.
Damn straight,
Carson.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Kill him this year, and it's awesome to talk to you. We look forward to doing it down the line. Welcome to WGN, and we're thrilled to partner with you, man. Looking forward to watching you this year.
No, great, man. Thank you guys for having me.
It's most definitely our pleasure. Carson Fulmer of your Chicago White Sox. Quick time out here. We'll get you into news. There's a ticket plan for every fan, by the way, Harry. Get access to every opponent with a 20-game plan or handpick your games with a 10-game package. Secure your seats for the 2018 season today. For more information, call 312-674-1000 or visit whitesox.com. It's White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN.
WGN, the team's flagship radio station.
You're listening to White Sox Weekly on the home of the Sox, 720 WGN.
Indeed, indeed. White Sox Weekly until 5 o'clock tonight. We're going to talk to Rick Hahn, or actually, we're not going to talk to him. Adam Ho talked to him on Sports Central this week. We're going to play a little chunk of that, but just a quick reaction on what Carson Fulmer had to say. Harry, you liked one thing in particular.
I thought it was great. You know, I mean, he's a fun guy, and I like it that he's hanging around with Giolito playing video games. It's exactly how we picture these guys hanging out when they're, you know, together when they're on the road. But my favorite thing he said was talking about James Shields, because when you've got such youth, you've got to look at the veteran presence. And James Shields is a guy, and some Sox fans really are not giving James Shields a chance. They're bum-wrapping him. He came here when the Sox were desperate for pitching help, and he hasn't been at his best. But James Shields is 36. He is, for his career, he's 15 games over 500, and he's pitched on some teams that weren't that great, and his ERA is under 4 for his career. And I think it's terrific that he is aware that he needs to sit next to him on the planes, sit next to him in the dugout, sit next to him at dinner, get as much information, you know, suck the brain, get as much knowledge of how you handle, you know, coming off a big win, how you handle coming off a loss when you got shelled, you know, how you deal with an umpire who's not giving you the corner. He went into great detail about how, for him, he needs to be able to work the corner and paint the corner. And I really like the way he talked up James Shields.
And James Shields is a guy that's key this year in two ways. Number one, if the White Sox shock the world, he's going to be a big part of it. And number two, if they don't, and this year goes as most people project, that it's going to be a rebuilding year, that's a guy, if he pitches well, can get you another piece around the trade deadline. So he's really...
Absolutely.
He's an important guy from a lot of ways. And, you know, to your point... The White Sox went out and signed Wellington Castillo to catch Carson Fulmer and Lucas Giolito and Reynaldo Lopez. And, you know, they also drafted Zach Collins in 2016, who's going to be their catcher of the future. But, you know, last year he had, you know, 223, 17 homers to go along with it. But he's still learning how to be a catcher, and he's still stepping into being a big-time hitter. So this is – they wanted a veteran presence behind the plate to help these guys get acclimated to playing in the big league. So to your point, Harry, veterans are important.
Yeah, and, you know, if you look at the success of the White Sox pitching, it has been, you know, over the years, starters passing it on to other young starters. Every time young starters came up and did well, there was usually an older starter on the staff that they would give credit to. Plus, same guy's been the pitching coach for 15 years.
Yes, Don Cooper, he's always super excited about his guys, but he seems incredibly thrilled about a bunch of the White Sox prospects that he's getting to work with. And by the way, there's no better way to watch a White Sox game than in premium seating. It's a good way to do it here. It's from the all-inclusive club areas to private suites. The White Sox offer the best locations and accommodations. You can find the perfect option for two people or the whole office today, Harry. For more information, call 312-674-1000 or visit whitesox.com.
That's a cool thing. You come in, you tell your office, hey, we hit a number this week and we're going to go to the Sox game on Friday. Or we do a number this month, we're going to go to two Sox games next month. I got an idea, by the way, for Brooks Boyer.
Okay.
You know, listen, you know, I love Giolito. I love Carson Fulmer. What if they do all these different plans? What if you did like an every fifth day plan? I mean, you wouldn't be guaranteed that the same starting pitcher would pitch, but you would go to the ballpark as often as the starting pitcher goes to the hill.
The every fifth day plan.
The every fifth day plan. Brooks, I don't want any cash for that. And there's some obvious sponsors that would tie into that. I think, you know, Brooks, you can run with that.
I mean, you sound like a guy, Harry, that quite frankly should have a job in a baseball organization doing some form of marketing and
organization.
PR. Right.
I want to work for the Blackhawks just so I can say organization.
Hawks coming up at 5:30 tonight. Chris Bowden has your preview.
Red hot Chicago Blackhawks.
Rick Hahn talked to Adam Hoge on Sports Central. We're going to hear a little chunk of that next. 720 WGN. It's White Sox Weekly.
Become an official member of the White Sox today by joining the free WhiteSox.com blacklist. Get breaking news, the latest videos, special ticket offers, and much more delivered right to your inbox. Visit WhiteSox.com/blacklist to register today.
720 WGN, this is White Sox Weekly. Sox are playing right now in the beautiful, I really would love to go out to Camelback. You want to go, Harry?
I would. I love spring training.
They're not at Camelback today.
No, they're in Seattle.
They're not in Seattle, but they're playing the Mariners in Arizona.
It's a very beautiful ballpark where the Mariners play.
3-2 Seattle, top of 8, as the White Sox in spring training game number 2.
Right. The Angels play in a beautiful setting. I mean, it's hard to find a place in Arizona that's not really beautiful. And, you know, what's happened lately is a lot of teams share, like, you know, Royals and Rangers share, Sox and the Dodgers share. But, I mean, spring training is great because you can get like a month and a half jump, you know, or a month jump into your baseball season.
I've only been out to spring training one time. That was when I was doing some Kansas City Royals work, Harry. That just feels off.
I don't know why you don't tell me that you've worked in Kansas City.
Did I ever mention that before? Yeah, I spent a week with the Royals, which at that point, Harry, your Chris Getz was the Royal second baseman.
Go number 17.
Who's now in the front office with the White Sox. Dan Long, are we ready to hear from Rick Hahn, your White Sox general manager, who was speaking with Adam Hoag.
And Adam Hoag is available here every day at 1 o'clock after Wendy and Bill.
From 1 until 2.
Bill and Wendy are on 10 to 12 on the station.
Yes.
And then they're on 12 to 1 on the stream. And then what happens?
And then it goes into Sports Central from 1 until 2, Monday through Friday. Sports Central is back at WGNRadio.com.
How about this? Hoagie and Chris Bowden asked the GM kind of about early optimism in the spring, you know, especially things to look for, indicators, especially with a team with a kind of changing focus in terms of bringing young guys along. What are some of the positive indicators they look for in camp?
All right.
The natural tendency at the start of every spring and every camp, I think, is to sort of look for signs for that hope to sort of build upon. And we're no exception this spring, and people like to read a lot into sidelines, in the bullpens, and in the batting practice. But I do feel a little bit different this spring, in that every field you walk to, you know, we've got six going on the backfield at any given time, or any 10-pack of mounds you go by where guys are throwing sidelines, you see multiple guys that get you excited. Guys who, you know, if all goes according to plan, which unfortunately we know in sports doesn't always happen, or rarely happens, I should say, that everything goes according to plan. We have potential answers for who could fill a championship roster, all homegrown. Now, over the course of the next year plus or so, we know the baseball gods are going to have some cruel things in mind for us, whether it's injury or underperformance. And ultimately, we're going to have to augment this core with via trade or free agency with guys from outside the organization. But at this point in time, as you walk around, there's plenty of different aspects of depth here that make you excited about the future.
Ideally, what are you trying to accomplish in this first 1 or 2 weeks in spring training before the games actually start?
It's really pretty basic, and that's get through healthy, in all honesty. You just want to get guys, many of whom have been ramping up here at Camelback Ranch prior to camp opening, or some of whom have been doing it on their own at home. And you just want to get everybody ready and able to perform up to their ability once the game starts. So we're not looking, as fun as it is to watch Eloy and Luis take BP, and it gets you a little tingly from time to time seeing some of the things they're doing, or Alec Hansen and Dylan Cease, to where they're throwing the ball and how they're throwing the ball. In the end, that avoiding that phone call from Herm Schneider is probably job one over the course of the first 10 days of 2 weeks.
Rick, youth usually equals energy in terms of seeing it and feeling it. And I know there was a certain degree to that, I'm sure, a year ago following all the moves that you made. But now with the add-ons since then, with a couple of trades that you've made, you know, since the Adam Eaton deal and the Chris Sale deal, is that elevated even more with some of the personnel? And how do you temper yourself in terms of not being tempted to, you know, pump these guys' tires even more for what's an excited fan base, an excited media base, too?
Yeah, I'll deal with the second part first, and that's you do have to caution yourself from time to time against wanting that short-term excitement or that energy boost or that reinforcement that things are on the right track by promoting a guy and getting him to Chicago sooner than maybe prudent. I think the conversations we have as a staff, and the fact that everyone from every element of the organization, whether it's the baseball department or marketing or PR, all the way through the field staff at each of our affiliates, everyone understands, as do the scouts and player development guys, everyone understands exactly what we're trying to accomplish for the long term. So as giddy as one individual may get from time to time, be like, hey man, I know Eli's only played like 17 games above A-ball, but he looks ready. There's enough other guys around that sort of keep the focus on the long-term plan and talk that one individual down and remain focused. Look, last summer when Moncada made his debut, there was a great deal of energy in that ballpark, despite the way that the team was performing at the time or from a wins and loss standpoint. I don't think I've ever seen a standing ovation for a guy taking a walk in his first AB like I did that night. Or
I may have been part of that, Rick.
I ain't mad at you. I think there was a great deal of all of us getting fired fired up by that laser foul ball he hit on an 0-2 pitch. We want more of those nights, but part of Moncada, the excitement of Moncada, and part of the excitement of that night is that he was ready, and we felt that he was going to be in a position to excel at the big league level, or at the very least finish off the elements of his game that needed to be rounded out at the big league level. And we didn't rush it with him. We didn't do it with Giolito. We didn't do it with Lopez. We're not going to do it with Eloy Kopech. We're not going to do it with whatever this next couple of generations are. No one's going to come to Chicago until they've answered all the questions we have for them at the minor league level, and they're ready for that last element of development that can only happen at the big league level. And the reason for that is, as satisfying as it might be to have another one of those Moncada nights in April when we bring up Eloy, that's not the best for putting that player in the best position to maximize his long-term impact on this club and to put us in a position to win championships, because he's maximizing his own ability. There is a lot of excitement from the youth, as you mentioned, and there is a lot of focus on how this is all going to come together. I think a lot of that excitement, though, isn't just a function of the age and the talent that's running around these backfields right now, but it's also a function of the culture that Ricky and his coaches have created in Chicago. A big part of this rebuild was a change from a cultural perspective and making sure we had an understanding from Chicago all the way down through our affiliates about what was expected of you in terms of how you play the game as a White Sox and how you approach your business. And Ricky and his staff had done a tremendous job instituting that culture in Chicago, and it has translated throughout the system. So the excitement comes with the youth and the future, but the excitement also comes from the changing culture that the coaches have helped implement throughout the organization.
White Sox general manager Rick Hahn earlier this week with Adam Hogue and Chris Bowden on Sports Central, WGNRadio.com, 1-2. It always makes sense when you preach patience and they're going to come up when they're ready and it makes organizational sense. I'm a very impatient person. Let's get them out there. If they're ready to go, I always say, let's see them at Guaranteed Rate Field. But I get that that makes sense for the White Sox to be patient with their guys.
What Rick Hahn did in the last year, it's ridiculous. He went from like the 29th best minor league system in all of baseball, like next to last minor league system, and he made it, you know, probably one of the top two. And when he talks about that Moncada night last year, when Johan Moncada debuted on the south side, you get goosebumps. I mean, it was an electric evening.
And there's plenty of those to come. We just don't know exactly when they will be, when Eloy comes up and Luis Robert comes up. I mean, there's just so much talent that's coming, and they'll all have that special moment. I think it's going to be the first time you go to Guaranteed Rate Field this year, Harry. You're going to walk out there. You're going to throw out the first pitch. Harry Tynowitz, WGN Radio.
Yeah.
And the place is going to go nuts.
Sure.
That's what's going to happen.
That's what you see?
I'm visualizing it. For the whole show, Dan Long will be out there.
I'm going to be up in...
They might let me in.
I'm going to be up in Fundamentals.
Well, hey, it's a great place to be. All right, quick timeout, and we'll wrap up White Sox Weekly coming up here, 720 WGN. Anything you're looking forward to this week, Harry Tynowitz, as far as spring training goes, and the Chicago White Sox, or anything spring training-wise, we're starting to get into it here. 32 days, 32 games, all of it.
Well, there's, White Sox are, and I think Cubs fans would probably agree with this. I mean, there's so many more stories that we're waiting to see unveil with the White Sox. You know, and I take, I've gotten hit on Twitter, pretty hard this week because, hey, man, you can't love them both. You can't cheer for both the Cubs and the Sox. I'm going to say this again. I'm bisexual. Dad loved the White Sox. Mom loved the Cubs. I grew up going to both games, and it's very exciting what's happening in town now with the Sox. The Cubs, we know what's happening, okay? The Sox, who knows what's going to happen with them?
Rick Hahn, I don't know if he would admit to it, but I've heard little rumblings that he grew up and he was a Cub fan back in the day.
I might be able to
confirm.
You might be able to confirm that. Darren Jackson played for the Cubs. He's now a White Sox radio broadcaster that you heard yesterday right here on 720 WGN.
Ed Farmer, by the way, has always hated the Cubs.
And God bless him for
it. Right, right.
Okay, and Harry Carey was a phenomenal White Sox broadcaster. And then he came. This is
Steve Stone.
Steve Stone was with Harry for 17,000 years, and now is, of course, alongside Hawk Harrelson, Jason Benetti.
And boy, you know, they've got it's a solid organization. It's very fun. You know, when you start in radio, you think, man, it's going to be so cool to meet the players. But, you know, 23 years later, I value so much the relationships I have in the front offices. And there's great people, you know, over there with the Sox.
All right. We got the regular beat coming up here. And Hawk Harrelson, by the way, being on the media guy, was a great choice in his final season doing TV for the White Sox. All right. That's the end of White Sox Weekly.
Dadgummit.
Dadgummit. We'll see you next
week. I wish I could cuss.
We're still here from 5 till 5:30. News is next. 720 WGN. Thanks to Carson Fulmer.